Today's Shi'as Masechta Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, a second line. Begins the Gemara Menah Milsa Darabanan. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know the rule Zilbasu Roiva, that we follow the Roiv? And the way, the simple way of learning is that yesterday, in the previous year, we discussed how do we know to follow Chazakah, and today the Gemara's focus is on how do we know that we follow Roiv. And as I saw, the Ran explains the Gemara. We learned the opinion of Rav Huna. The Rav Huna says that Behem b'chaya b'heske isra imedes ad shivad l'cha b'man nishchatam, which teaches us the loch of Chazakah, that the animal has a cheske sister, as we discussed in our previous shir. Today's shir begins that says that if we know that the animal was slaughtered, once we know that an animal was nishchatah, then the halacha is that we treat the animal as kosher. Why is that? Because we said that roiv mitzuyin etz l'shchita, most people who work with shchita are bekimheim, know what they're doing. So in other words, what Rav Huna said had an element of chazak on it, and then it had an element of roiv. And therefore, the Gemara, just like the Gemara had to teach us what is the source for teaching us the halacha of chazakah, they also had to teach us what is the source for learning the halacha of roiv. And furthermore, the fact that the Rav Huna's statement really was built around first teaching us the halacha of chazakah, behemah b'chaya b'cheskes iser oimedes, and then taking that a step further and following on roiv, now we can well understand why the Gemara chose to first teach the halacha about chazakah and then teach us the halacha of roiv. Rav Aaron, I saw in the Mishnah of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, explains that when we look at these various halachas that we're discussing in our shiurim, the halacha of chazakah and the halacha of roiv, the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson. We're learning these Gemaras. What we're learning from this Gemaras are that the Torah is teaching us how to look at a situation. There are situations, and many situations, which are a situation of suffix. And therefore, the Torah is telling us there are different tools how we are to look at situations and deal with them. Moreover, I saw that the Tosfos asks that if we just finish learning that we follow Chazakah, certainly we should follow Roiv, because the rule is Ruba v'Chazakah, when we have a Roiv and Chazakah, Ruba Adav. And therefore, if we just finish learning the power of Chazakah, it should be understood that Roiv is acceptable because Roiv is stronger than Chazakah. So I saw that the Goyin Rabbi Yitzchak Glick explains. He says that there's a famous Taz. The Taz discusses why is it that a milah that takes place on Shabbos, the halach is that if a milah takes place on Shabbos, we do the milah, even though we know if it comes to shofar and Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar and Shabbos. And if it comes to taking dalaminim, we don't take the dalaminim on Shabbos. Why did they not make exer by mila? And the Taz says, because the Torah says, "Yoyim hashmini yim b'sar losai." The yoyim hashmini, we learn from there feel b'Shabbos. So we see from here, says the Taz, that something that the Torah explicitly said is mutter, the Chazal cannot say is osur. So what the Gemara is teaching us as follows: the Torah indeed says b'achir rabam lahatis, and since the Torah says achir rabam lahatis, we follow roiv. Not only do we follow roiv, but we follow roiv even if it represents a kula. But maybe that's begins our Gemara, as we're going to discuss, only by Ruba Deisa Kamon. When we have our Bezdin and we take a vote, as we're going to learn. But how do we know that we say roiv even in Aruba, the leisa come on. Maybe over there, the halacha of roiv is not that strong. Comes our Gemara to teach us that roiv is a din in the Torah, and since roiv is a din in the Torah, we follow the din of roiv under all circumstances. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, from where did Chazal take this rule, the Zilba Saruba, that we always follow Raiv? Menolan asked the Gemara, why would you ask such a question? The Ksiv, isn't it an explicit pasuk that says, that we follow the Raiv? So Rav Chaim Brisker, in explaining this Gemara, says when we speak about Raiv, there are really two ways of looking at Raiv. There's a halacha of Hoylech Achar Raiv, where we have a piece of meat, for example, in front of us, and we need to determine, is this piece of meat kosher or not kosher? So Raiv tells us that if most of the pieces of meat, we'll speak about various examples, are kosher, it's considered kosher. We treat this meat as a piece of kosher meat. Bittel B'Raiv is a different situation, where we have a mixture of Isser v'Heter, and there Roiv tells us that what mostly here is Heter, we treat this mixture as Heter and vice versa. Now, what happened over here is that what's Osser is Osser, what's Mutter is Mutter. What happened here is that the Roiv told us that Ruba Kekula, that we follow the Roiv. So, the says Rav Chaim Brisker, both types of roiv, where the first type of roiv gives us a beerer, it tells us what is the situation, that we assume it came from the butcher shop, the kosher butcher shop, or when we have this mixture, in both cases we say roiv, that's what the Gemara means to say. But now the question is, how do we know that both types of roiv are included in the words achirabim l'hatois? So, explains Rav Chaim Brisker. The Torah, the halacha requires, we learned the Masechta Sanhedrin, that when you have a din Torah, when it's referring to financial matters, we have to have 3 dayonim. When we have a situation of din nefashos, we have to have 23 dayonim. We follow the majority of the dayonim. Now the question is, if we have a vote, 2-1, or whatever number by 23. So not everybody agreed. So if the Torah, if the halacha requires that we have 3 dayonim, and we have a vote 2-1, so we only have 2 dayonim passing this way. What does that teach us? That the Torah tells us that holchan achar roiv, and even those that dayonim, that one dayan in the case of 2-1, is considered that he paskined as if he paskened like the other two, as if he paskened like the majority. So if that's the case where we're taking a vote, and the case where it is Roiv versus the Roiv Heter versus Roiv Isser, are really the exact same. Because what's happening in both cases is that the Miut really becomes part of the Roiv. And since in both cases, if we think about it, they are situations of the miyut becoming part of the roiv, so therefore it's not 2 separate halachos of roiv, and it's understood how both can be learned together. Says the Gemara, Ruba the Issa Kamon. So the question is, the Gemara began with a question, how do we know the roiv is effective? And the answer is quite obvious. The Torah said, Achri Rabim Lahatas. Answers the Gemara, Ruba the Issa Kamon, where it's a situation where there are 10 butcher shop. 1 sells non-kosher meat, and 9 will, and 9 will have kosher meat, and we don't know what happened here. The halacha is that roiv, we follow roiv, and we say that the meat came from the kosher meat. Sanhedrin, or similarly, if we have a case coming to the Sanhedrin, and there's a vote, and the majority votes one way, Lokum Boilon. There is no question. Indeed, the pasuk of Achir Rabim Lahatos teaches us that we follow the roiv. So the Shita Mekubetzis asks, how can we learn from the case of Sanhedrin to the case of meat that's found in the street? When we spoke about a Sanhedrin, Everything is open. We have the members of Sanhedrin taking a vote, and we follow the majority. We know exactly who held what. But when we have a piece of meat in the street, we don't know where it came from. So how can we compare the two situations? So some Rishonim say, because even by Sanhedrin, even if the majority voted in a certain direction, that doesn't necessarily tell us that if they were correct. It only tells us that this is the way they voted. And therefore, just like when we have the piece of meat in the street, we can't be 100% certain what is the status of the meat, that even when we have the vote and we know who voted which way, doesn't mean that that was the right vote. The Shari Yosher says that if we think about the case of the 10 kosher butcher shops, and we don't know from where the 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, and we find a piece of meat, we don't know what to do. There's no definitive understanding that this came from the kosher butcher shop. What do we say that when we have a Beis Din and most Dayanim paskin in a certain direction, the halacha is that every person has his own vote. And the Torah says that each vote, even though it's a dependent vote, combines together. Same thing, says Reb Shimon, when we have the butcher stores, each butcher store is independent, but we put together all the kosher butcher shops. So says the Gemara, that indeed is what the Torah teaches us in the Pasuk of Achirabim Lahatis. The question is, in a case, Beruva Delaisa Kaman, where it's a different type of Rav, Aruba Delaisa Kaman, and the Gemara gives the example, says the Gemara, Kigoyin Kotvik Tana. As we've discussed, if somebody, Rechman Slan, is Nifta without any children, his wife is supposed to have Yibum or Chalitza from his brother. But the halacha is that if the brother is a person that can't have children, a soros, or the girl is an islandist that can't have children, there's no mitzvah yibum. And we have to always remember when we say there's no mitzvah yibum, if there's no mitzvah yibum, there's a very serious issue on the table. There's an issue of Eishes Ach, that she's a sister-in-law that's not allowed to be married to a brother-in-law. So now the question is, do we allow these individuals to do Yibum? I would say because most people are not a Soros and not an islandess, or do we have to be concerned that maybe this woman is an islandess? And the halacha is that we follow Roiv, and since most people are not islandess, we can make that assumption, this assumption here as well. So we need to understand, as the Rishonim and the Achronim, the Gemara is very clear in teaching us that we follow Roiv. That the Gemara is very clear that Ruba de Is Kaman is stronger than a Ruba de Lesser Kaman. Why? So the simple pshat, which the Ran suggests, is that we said a moment ago, when we have a Ruba de Is Kaman where the vote was taken, so we know the vote was 9-1, the majority versus the minority. Here, we don't know anything for sure. Another explanation that I saw, the Chasam Sofer says that the basis of the Roiv of Ruba de Is Kaman and the basis of Ruba de Is Kaman are very different. Ruba de Is Kaman is, we have 10 butcher shops. Most of the butcher shops are kosher, and that's why it's a fair assumption to say that the meat that we found on the street is the kosher meat. The Roiv de Lesser Kaman has nothing to do because of statistics. It has to do minik ha'olam. Most people, Baruch Hashem, can have children, so the assumption is that these people have children. Rabbi Chanan says as follows. Rabbi Chanan says when we speak about Ruba de Is Kaman, he says that when we speak about Ruba de Is Kaman, we know all the facts. Again, going back to the butcher shops, going back to the Sanhedrin. We know the status of each individual butcher shop. We know the vote of each member of the Sanhedrin. where we have a Ruba that's come on, we're totally in the dark. And therefore, we say that we, therefore, the Ruba the less come on is much weaker than the Ruba the is come on. So the Gemara now identified that we are trying to understand how do we know that we follow Rav, even in a situation where it's Ruba the lesser come on. Amr Rabbi Elazar, Simon Zman, Shvach Mechanish, Ashi Mereshi Shalayla. We learned the halacha from the head of a carbon oil. Mar explains itself. Damakra, the Torah, when it describes how a carbon oil should be brought, says the Torah, V'nitach oisul nesacheha. The Torah tells us that we should cut up the carbon oil into pieces, but we learn, oisul nesachim v'lenesachim nesachim. We cut it up to big pieces, but then the big pieces that we cut it up to, we don't cut up any further. But now, if that's the case, it means that we don't cut up the head of the animal. But we don't cut up the head of the animal, why should we not be concerned, says the Gemara, maybe the membrane around the head, the around the brain, was punctured. And that animal, therefore, is a trefa. So how can we eat that carbon, or how can we be makir of that carbon and not be concerned that that animal is a trefa? Why don't we have to be concerned? Says the Gemara, Ella, laugh. The reason we don't have to be concerned, because we apply the rule of zil basaruba. And since in most animals, that is not the case, here too, we don't have to be concerned that that is the case. So I saw that Taisus asks, why couldn't the Gemara bring a different raya? The halacha is that, as we learned, there are all sorts of kabbanas that are brought on Shabbos. So why are we allowed to bring them on Shabbos? Why are we not concerned for Chil Shabbos? Because the Torah told us to bring them on Shabbos. But if the animals are trefa, so it's not a valid carbon. If it's not a valid carbon, how can we be Mechal Shabbos? So Taisus says that the halacha indeed is, perhaps indeed, when we're bringing a carbon on Shabbos, maybe we do need to be concerned if the carbon is a trefa. But when the Torah says that we're allowed to bring kabbanos on Shabbos, included in what the Torah says we're allowed to bring kabbanos on Shabbos, says Tosfos, is that we're allowed to bring even an animal that can be brought on Shabbos. Another teretz that the Ramban suggests, the Ra'ah suggests, is that in a case where there are no options, if every animal, as we look at that animal, we need to be concerned, is this animal a treif or not? But if that's going to be the case, we'll never be able to bring a carbon on Shabbos. And the Torah clearly tells us to bring kabbanos on Shabbos. Where there's no other option than to rely on Rav, there is no question that we rely on Rav. The discussion in our Gemara here is that, as we're going to learn, if there is an option to do something else, how do we know that we just rely on Rav? The Sefer Yisrael says, why does the Torah teach us this halacha about how the carbon oil should be cut up and how it should not be cut up? He says that every person has the obligation to do a cheshbon nefesh. Nitach oisel nesachim, a person has to examine his acts, says the Gemara, but the Torah says, v'loy nitach oisel nesacheha. Yes, every Jew has an obligation to constantly review, where am I standing? Where am I not standing? But we have to be careful not to overdo it. Because if we overdo it, it may cause us to come into atzvus. It may cause us just to get bogged down and not to be able to go further in our avodas Hashem. And therefore the Torah says, v'nitach oisol nesachah. We have to cut it up. But loy nesachah v'loy, but not more than required. Just cut up that we should do a basic examination, not do more than required. Says the Gemara, Mai, who says that we bring the animal? So the Gemara is saying the fact that we bring this carbon, it's a proof that we rely that on the Rav. Says the Gemara, Mai, why are we so quick to say that? Dilma, the palalei badaklei. Maybe what we do is we slice open the head of the carbon and we don't cut into two pieces, but we open up and examine the membrane. What does it mean when we completely cut up the organ? In a case where it's all the head is still it's still intact, and we're just opening up the bone to check the membrane, less lumbar, it's not a violation, and it will still be, and we'll be able to know definitively that this animal doesn't have this problem. Says the Gemara, so Mabar Ravina Oma Asya Mishvirus Etzim Pesach. We learn from the halacha about breaking a bone on the Korban Pesach. Damrachmana, the Targ Dosha says, Vetzim Loy Shishbrabai. The Torah is very strict that we're not allowed to break any bones from the Korban Pesach. And again, the same question, V'neichesh, why should we not be concerned the Shemanik of Krum Shemayach, that the membrane around the brain got punctured, and therefore it's a trefa, El Alav. Why do we not have to be concerned? Because clearly we see Bishum Damrin and Zil Basaraba. We follow the Rav. Mamai, says the Gemara, why are we saying that? Dilma, says the Gemara, we do an examination. The way we do the examination is the Manach Gummer to Alei, we put some coals on top of the brain for Kalalei until it burns the bone, and then ubadiklei, and then we'll be able to examine if the membrane is intact. The Tanya, and if you'll question, may one do so? So the Ma'amachatach begidim, if somebody just cuts the veins of a Korban Pesach, hasorip et somis, or somebody burns a bone of the Korban Pesach, ain by mishum shviras etzim. So the Gemara is saying we don't have to rely on Rav, we have a way of doing it. There's a famous Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Rambam and Rashba. The rule of Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is the Dada Din Daraisa or is the Dada Din Darabonim. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Din of Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is only Midrabonim. When the Torah said something is Asur, the Torah only said it's Asur when it's certainly Asur, not by Safek. The Rashba and the Ran, who disagree with the Rambam, use our Gemara as a raya against the Rambam. Because if the Rambam is right, the Suffolk, the Reis Lakula, you know why by this animal that we don't know if it's a trefa or not, we're being lenient? The reason we're being lenient is because even if it's a Suffolk, the Torah says Midaraisa, we could be Mekel. So the Pre-Chadda says that it answers this question. And the Pre-Chadda says that even according to the Rambam, who says that Safek Daraisa L'Kula, he only says Safek Daraisa L'Kula in a place that I have no way of knowing what really happened. So there we could rely on Safek Daraisa L'Kula. But the Rambam is going to agree that if I have a way of verifying, I can't just rely on Safek Daraisa L'Kula. That's why the Gemara couldn't just say, that's why we're lenient here. The Crazy Uplacy says that when something is chazik isura, as we learned this concept and will learn this concept, that's established that it's osur, the Rambam won't say safek deraisa l'kula. And here an animal is chazik isura. Others say that from many of the hilchos shechita, we learn that we have to check for the treifas. If the Rambam is right, that Safek Daraisa L'Kula, why do we ever have to check for that? We should just rely on Safek Daraisa L'Kula. Clearly, the Rambam doesn't just apply to Salach in all situations. Rabbi Chanan answers that we can't bring a raya, even if we'll say that Safek Daraisa L'Kula, but here we have a chiv to eat from the Korban Pesach. And if we have a chiv to eat from the Korban Pesach, so then if the animal was a trefa, even if you say Safek Daraisa L'Kula, but that doesn't mean you ate from a kosher Korban Pesach, and you have an obligation to fulfill that obligation. And therefore, it's a proof that it must be because we rely on Rav, and most animals are treif. But we see another thing I saw that for the sake of Mishnah Sacher. The Gemara suggested that the way we could we can't completely cut off the head, but we can maybe do an examination without completely cutting off the head. He says there's a tremendous lesson to learn from here. The lesson to learn from here is that as long as somebody's still somewhat connected, you're not considered cut off. So again, the Gemara is trying to know from where do we know the halacha that we can rely on Ruba Delesa. Come on. Says the Gemara of Nachman Yitzchak Asya Ma'alya. The halacha is that when we have the tail of a Karban Shlomim that comes from a kevis or ayil, that the halacha is that in those animals, we burn the entire back half, the tail, the kidneys. Dam Rachmana, the Torah says regarding the tail, Chelba Ha'alya Tameima, that the tail has to be left completely whole intact. But now the question is, V'lechesh, should we not be concerned? Shemanifska Chodesh Edra. Maybe the spinal cord that goes entirely on the top of the animal through the tail was split. So we can't cut up in the tail to check if it was split. Why? But so how can we know that it wasn't split and it's a trefa? A laugh, it must be Mishim Darin and Zilbas Rebbe, since most animals don't have that trefa, we don't have to be concerned. V'chitema, and says the Gemara, maybe that isn't the way to do it. Matatoi pasukle, that when we cut the tail off from the animal, we'll cut it in a way that the tail is separate, but we'll be able to examine the spinal cord. What happens is that top part will take off, and the rest of the spinal cord will examine. We can't do that, says the Gemara. Because we have to keep that tail through the kidneys all intact. So we can't cut it off to do this type of examination. Says the Gemara. Maybe we cut off from the other side, from the top of the animal, and examine the spinal cord. Vimashim Tamima. Hani Mili. When is it a violation of Tamima, the Chatul Gamri, when we cut it into two pieces? Aval Hechad the life, as we've been learning, with somewhat attached, that it isn't a violation. So again, so we can't check. So there's no raya that we don't rely on rice. So says the Gemara, Rav Sheish Breder of Idama, Asr Magla Rufa. We know that Torah Kadosh says that if we find a corpse, Leinoidam Yuko, we don't know who killed. We don't know who killed that person. The Torah brings a whole procedure of Egla Rufa. We bring a calf and we decapitate it. And the Torah uses the word Harufa, and we learn from Mikesh Shleimetahei that we have to decapitate it when it's whole, and we may not decapitate it after it's cut up. But now the same question. V'lechesh, why should we not be concerned Dumma Trefa? Maybe this calf is a Trefa. Allah, and we can't cut it up to check. Says the Mara, Allah Mishim Damlinen. From here we see that the halacha tells us that we could rely on Rav, that most animals are not a trefa. Here also, it doesn't have to be a trefa. How do we know it's not allowed to be a trefa? So one pshat is that's exactly what the Gemara said. Ha'arufa, the extra hay comes to teach us that the animal is not allowed to be a trefa. Another pshat is Egla Arufa. The Torah is teaching us Arufa. When do we decapitate this animal? When it's Egla, when it's a full-fledged, not when it's in any way not fully, when it's whole. V'chitema, if we'll say Nafgamina, that there's no problem, so the Gemara, and even if it's a trefa, it will not be disqualified. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Because Ha'amri debay Rabbi Yanai, Kapara Ksebe, the Torah says regarding the Egla Rufa, the Torah calls it a Kapara, just like Kachim, just like as we know, a carbon may not be treif, says the Halacha here, true, this may not be treif. So again, where says the Gemara, so we must be that we're relying on Reif. So this was the first full-fledged source, Egla Rufa, that we rely that the animal is not a trefa, that we follow Ruba Delesa, come on. Rabbi Bar Shalom, Asmi Paraduma. We learn from the Halacha of Paraduma. Dom Rachmana, The Torah says by the Paradum v'shachat v'sarif, and we learn from here mashki tasek shishlema. We shech the paraduma when it's not a treifa. Afsri sefer kishlema. We burn it when it's not cut into pieces. So if the halacha is that we're not allowed to cut up the paradum into pieces, why not be concerned for leichestam a treifa? Why not be concerned that maybe it's a treifa? El alam shundazrinan daminin zil basaruba. We follow the rive. It will say, why should it have to be whole? Says the Gemara, because the Torah says, Chatas Kai Rachmana. The Torah always calls this a Chatas. And since the Torah always calls it a Chatas is a carbon. And a carbon, Chatas may not be a treif. So Tosfos asks that the Par Aduma has to be at least 2 years old. And the Gemara says that what is the definition of a treifa? Gemara we're going to have later in the Masechta Daf Mem Beis, is if it didn't survive 12 months. But if we see that we have a Par Aduma, as we just said, was lived 2 years, so obviously it's a treifa. So Tosfos answer that, yes, we know now the fact that it lived so long that it's not a treifa. But that doesn't tell us anything about what's happening right now. Right now, it might have become a treifa. So the fact that it survived 2 years doesn't mean it's going to survive another 12 months. Another pshat that the Ramban suggests, which is an important vart when we speak about treifa, let's say we'll have an animal that clearly has the symptoms of a treifa, but it survived 12 months. Will that be mutar asur? The halacha is that it's asur. Now the question is, why the halacha is that it's asur? It survived 12 months. So we see from here, says the Ramban, that something surviving 12 to a year is not necessarily a full-fledged raya. It's not full-fledged raya that the animal is not a treifa. And therefore, just because it's 2 years old, it's not enough of a raya. When we speak about Ruba de Leisa Kamon, one of the places that in halacha it's used is in a situation of drinking milk. The halacha is that the milk of an animal that's a treifa may not be consumed. So how do we drink milk? Why not be concerned that the milk is from a treifa? Because we rely on Rav Behemis Ksheris. And since we rely on Rav Behemis Ksheris, that's why we could assume that all the milk that we're drinking is considered kosher milk. The question, however, is, what will be if you have a situation that you have a decent percentage of animals that are treif? So how do we look at it? Do we look at each animal, or do we look at all the milk in the world? And the Paiskim say that we don't look at just the milk of a herd. We look at all the milk of the world. And since most animals in the world are kosher, that's why we could rely on that rive and be allowed to drink milk. Says the Gemara, Ravach B'Yakov Amar, how do we know that we can rely on a Ruba de Les Kaman? Asa Mishter Shalayach. We learned the halacha from the Sar Lazov on Yom Kippur. The Rachman Amar, the Torah says, V'lokach Shnei Shirim, we take two goats, and the halacha is Yishei Shneim Shavim. Both goats should be completely the same. The last asked the question, the lechish, why should we not be concerned? Dil mechad minai treifa hu, maybe one of these two animals is a treifa. The reason we not need to be concerned is mishum dazli damrin zil basarobo. We follow rive, and most animals are not a treifa. V'chi tema, and if we'll say man nafka l'minei, why would it bother us if the sol azazo treifa? It's not a carbon. And the Gemara, the halacha is, ein goyrul kavei lazazel. The goyrul cannot determine that this animal is the sor lazazel, ella bedova roi l'shem. The only animal that could be used for sor lazazel is an animal that could have been used sor l'shem. And if it's sor l'shem, it can't be a treifa. The chitema, so if you'll say the bat kinalei, that we take the soil azazel after it went down the mountain, and we examine if it wasn't a trefa. And if it turns out to be a trefa, we'll indeed have to take another one. Asking Marva tonight, well, we learned not like that, because we learned in the Mishnah, lo yamigil machzah har, the soil azazel didn't get down half the mountain, achinase varm avarm, until it was completely destroyed and it wasn't able to be looked at. So I saw that the Sefer Sheiros Menachem says that we learn from here that the Gemara Chazal teach us, Eid Adameis v'chatzi tavasa b'yodai. People who live their life chasing after things, even when they leave the world, they have barely accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. And that's what we say, Kodim Shemagil Chatzi Sahar, before this animal went down even half the mountain, it becomes Avirim Avirim. It doesn't survive. We don't get what we want. We have to realize that if we're going to live our lives chasing these things, we anyway won't get them. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis of an Aleph, speaks that to tzaddikim, the Yetzirah looks like a mountain, and to Rishayim, it looks like a thin thread. The truth of the matter is, he explains the Sefer Yetzer Ephraim, that every time a person has a test in life, and the tzaddik is able to overcome that test, so every test is just a small thread. But every time the tzaddik overcomes one nesoyin after another nesoyin, all those threads combine and they become a big mountain. Whereas the Rasha, who's not even able to survive one test, so the Reish Sahara remains like a Chata Sara. It says, that's Pshat and Gemara. The Rishayim, the Sol HaZozel, which is just, doesn't come down half the mountain, that represents the Rasha that didn't even survive the first test and already failed. Rameri Amra, Rameri says a different way we know that we follow Roif. Mimaka Ovav Imai. We learn from the halacha that the Torah says there's a serious isser of Rachman Slon, one hurting a parent. The Dom Rachmana, the Torah says that if somebody hits a parent, Rachman Slon, Katli, Dizchei Miso. But now the question is, how can we be certain that this is truly your father? Maybe we should be concerned that this is not your father. Elalav, why would we not be concerned about that? Because Shundamrinan, Zil Basaroiba, we follow Roiv, and Roiv Bilis Achabal, and that's why we can assume that your mother got pregnant from your father. Ask Ramai, maybe the case that Yechai for Maka Oviv Imoy is a case, your parents were incarcerated, and there was nobody else there, so must be that your mother got pregnant from this man who's your father. Says the Mara Filo Haki, still a Filo Haki ain't apotropos l'rayos. We don't know for sure that nothing happened with the mother having relations with somebody else. And yet, we're assuming that this is your father. If that's your father, it's a raya that, so we can rely on the Rav that that's your father. So the Michas Chinuch says, why doesn't the Gemara bring a raya from a kalal of a vimay? If somebody curses a parent, there's a chiy misa, and how can we be certain that this is your parent, that this is your father? So Michas Chinuch says, from mekalal of a vimay, we wouldn't be sure. Why wouldn't we be sure from mekalal of a vimay? Because let's say somebody curses Rachman's on a father, and he says, I don't know necessarily who my father is, but whoever my father is, I'm cursing him. And because of that, it would be certainly a case that Yechayiv. It must be that we rely on Rav. So the Gemara says that we, in Apotropos Larayis, that we could be certain, we can never be certain that maybe the mother didn't have relations with somebody else. And the Taisa says that even if we'll know that the god in the prison was sterile, so he could not have in any way made your mother pregnant because he's sterile. How do we know that he didn't let somebody in, somebody else in, to make to pregnated your father? So then the question is, there's a way to know that a woman is innocent. Let's say this woman was a soita, and the husband suspected her, and then gave the maim hamorim to drink that water, and she came out clean. So that's proof that she's innocent. And then we'll know for sure who the father and mother are. So they answer, the maim hamorim doesn't work in a case where we know for sure that she was mezana. So if there are edim anywhere in the world that could definitively say that she was mezana, then the maim hamorim are not a raya. Or furthermore, the maim hamorim will not work if the husband is a guilty, also did avera. So the fact that she drank the maim hamorim and came out okay is not 100% proof that she's innocent. Rav Kahana Amar, how do we know that we follow Ruva Delesa? Come on. He says, Asi Maharigas Nefesh. We learn from the halacha of killing somebody. Dom Rachmana, that if somebody kills somebody, b'mezid, his chayv misa. Dom Rachmana, katle, we should kill the murderer. But ask the Gemara, lechish dem a treifa hava, maybe the victim was a treifa, and if somebody kills a treifa, he's not chayv for murder, because the halacha is that gavra katil, that's considered a situation of gavra katile katle, that you killed a person who's already dead. So this case is the same, that this is not considered a person that so the fact that we aren't concerned about that is a raya that we follow Rav. Lech shtema trefahu, elam shem derin zil basaruba. The chitema, if we'll say the bat kinalei, that what the halacha tells us to do is to examine the victim, the murdered individual, if he indeed was a treifa or not. Says the Gemara, how come a novel? Doing that is inappropriate because it's nivel ames. The chitema mshum nivel dahai in the navle. Maybe to avoid that this person that isn't chayiv misa is not chayiv misa, we should go and do an autopsy in the bottom. Still, that won't help. That even if we'll be allowed to do this type of an autopsy, but maybe we'll discover and we'll find that he was not a treifa, but we need to be concerned, says the Gemara, then the place where he was stabbed to be killed is the exact place where he already had a hole before. And that wouldn't be able to come up on autopsy. The fact that we don't have to do so is the fact, so the autopsy is not conclusive. And therefore, we see why, so why do we kill this murderer? Because we rely that most people are not a treifa. But this discussion in the Gemara, that the Gemara suggested that maybe if the examination were indeed conclusive, we should do it, opens up a question that the Noida Behuda discusses. The Noida Behuda was asked the question where we have a person who Rachman Slan was nifter, and the doctors would like to do an autopsy on that body for medical research in order that we should be able to do research into this disease to help the next person. And the discussion is that we know that the Torah allows us to do everything for Tzolos Nefashos. So then to save a future patient from a disease should be permissible to do a nivel mace, to do an autopsy for medical research. So to discuss this question, which is a very complicated question, first of all, the Paiskim say, Hatzalos Nefashos is only applicable on when we have a question in front of us. That means if we have a person with a certain disease that presumably had the same disease as this patient, as this victim, and now we'll say, as this person who died, so now the question is that we should do it to save the patient that's ill. But just to say that because there may be a patient like this down the road, it's not necessarily permissible. That's one point that the Pais can make. The other point that the Pais can make in this situation is that we can't, that who do we want to do nivel ames on? On this person who's dead. But we know that the halacha is that kivin shemes adam nasa chavchi min a mitzvah. The person who's not alive doesn't have to do mitzvahs. So yes, every person who's alive has to do whatever he can to save another person. But to hear, we're trying to save, to hear the person who's being asked, the person that we're going to be menavel, is a person who's not alive anymore. It could well be that this person no longer has the obligation to do something to save a person who's sick. Says the Gemara, Ravina Amar, how do we learn the concept of Ruba Delaisa Kaman? We learn it from Adam Zimmerman. Dama Rahman, the Torah says, Vasisa Loikash Zamam Las Lachiv. We do to the Adam what he wanted to do to the person that he said testimony against. But now, ask the Gemara, Vilechish, Dilmahata Sidibay Trefaha, maybe the person that they said testimony against is a person who was a treifa. And therefore, we're not chayif, there's no punishment. The person is dead already. Elav, why don't we say that? It must be, Mishum, the halacha tells us, the Zlina Basaroiba, we follow Roif. So it's a very interesting halacha. And that I saw that the Sefer Magoyis Yam explains. He says, we think about the halacha of Adam Zimmerman, it's sort of an interesting situation. If the person they wanted to say testimony against was a person who, if the person they wanted to say testimony against was already killed, then they don't have Adam Zimmerman. They're not Adam Zimmerman. But if the person, they don't get punished. If the person wasn't punished, so then they will get the punishment of Kasha Zomam. Shouldn't we say just the opposite? If they caused this person to die, then they deserve a punishment. But if they didn't cause the person to die, why do they deserve a punishment? So the Bargol Shiyam explains, as the Gemara often says, that the entire halacha of Adam Zomam is a chiddush. Why do we believe the second Adam more than the first Adam? But the Torah says we do. And the Torah is saying the reason we do is because because the Torah says there must be that these first Adam did something that they deserve a punishment for. So if what they did didn't accomplish anything, so then we see that they became Adam Zomim because the Torah wanted to create a situation that they should get punished. But if the person who they said testimony against was indeed killed, so then this is no longer a situation where the person that the Adam Zomim are here getting punished for something that they might have done previously wrong. It's a proof that we don't have any such proof, and therefore they don't get punished. Rav Ashi says that the way we learn this halacha is Asim Shchita Atzma. From the halachas that we're talking about Shchita, Dam Rechmona, Teresa Shchoit V'achol, we should shecht the animal and then we could eat it. But now, why should we not be concerned? Says the Gemara, maybe there's a hole in the kana in the veishit, and if there's a hole in the kana in the veishit, then the halacha is the animals are treifa. Alav, the reason we don't have to be concerned is mishum dazlin basaruba and roi behemis don't have a hole there. I'm Rav Ashi, says the Gemara. Says Rav Ashi, Amrat l'shmatzah kamed Rav Kahana, v'amalei Rav Kahana kamed Rav Simi, v'amalei dima hechad efsher. Maybe the halacha that we follow Ruba d'lesa kaman is in a place where we can do our own examination. We have to do our own examination. V'hecha, only in a place, lo yefsher, only in a place where we have no other option can we rely on Roif. Who teaches us that we could rely, arrive under all situations? Because says the Gemara, Dilay Temahachi, if we won't take that approach, the halacha is that Rameya, as we've been speaking in our Shurim, is the man the Amar, the Chayash the Miyuta. Rameya, That's why Rameh says we can't allow a katna or a ktamna to do yibum, because we have to be concerned that maybe he's a soros, maybe she's an islandess. Hachanami, that according to Rameh, deloyacha besler, because maybe, will he say that because there's a miut that have a hole in the simen, we should never allow to eat meat? And maybe, says the Gemara, v'chi tema, and says the Gemara, hachanami, maybe indeed that is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Pesach, where the Torah says by Pesach, or by Kachim, or by other Kachim, where the Torah says that you have to eat. So regular meat, you could say, the Ramei will say, because we're chayish the miutai, we're never going to be allowed to eat regular meat. But by Pesach, we have to eat the Karm Pesach. We have to eat certain kabanas. Michael Amema, Elamai, what must we say? Hechad efsha efsha, hechad alay efsha, alay efsha. Where there's an option to be mavarur, to be verified, that's what we should do. And where there is no option, then the halacha doesn't require us to do so. Hachinami, so the same thing, and all the cases that we just learned in our Gemara, that we follow the roiv, it's only because there was no option. But maybe in a case, hechad efsha efsha, where there's an option to check, we have an obligation that we check. Only when we can't check will the halach be that we don't have to check. Now, what is that called? What is called the case that we have option, the case that no option? Some, there are two different explanations in the Sefer Rosh Yosef. Some say that the definition of efshar versus loy efshar is if it's a dvar rishus versus a dvar mitzvah. By a dvar mitzvah, where we have an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Torah says, if we could rely, if we could check it out, fantastic. And if we can't, then we'll have to rely on the roiv. That's one way. That's one definition of efshar. The other way of explaining it, that we don't make the distinction between a dvar mitzvah, a dvar rishus. Rather, the way the halacha looks at it is if it's something that we could verify, so then we have an obligation to verify. And if it's not something that we can verify, then we don't have to verify. But the bottom line of this discussion will be that it's not that we rely under all circumstances on Aruba Delesa Kaman. We could only rely on Aruba Delesa Kaman where we have no other options.